In the 1970s, North Electric's NX1 crossbar switching system was a favorite of phone freaks because it was so much fun to play with and to listen to. Here is a compilation of recordings of NX1 sounds coming over the long-distance network. Let's start with just a basic call to an NX1 from my Long Island home in 1976. This goes from the Lynbrook Crossbar 5 to Hempstead Crossbar Tandem number 3,
5166,
to Pittsburgh 4A number 2,
4121,
to Katanning NX1. Now, I think this ring type was only found on NX1s. However, the newer NX1s had modern ringtones, such as Butler, Pennsylvania. Next, a call to Butler via the same Hempstead-Pittsburgh route. Now, virtually all NX1s rang using one of the two rings you've just heard, but Wellsboro, Pennsylvania was an exception. Here it is via Hempstead
5166,
Harrisburg 4A
7172,
to Wellsboro. That's an unusual ring for an NX1, but not for an independent. When the NX1 is setting up the route to an actual phone line, the pulsing sequence takes a relatively long time, as it did in the last three examples. But when it's going to the intercept recording, or some other trunk, it's a shorter sequence. Here's a call to Greenville, Ohio, via Hempstead, Cincinnati 4A,
5132,
to Greenville. Greenville, Ohio's NX1 goes right into the recording without a ring, but some of these do ring before the recording starts, such as Jefferson City, Missouri. Even though that one did ring first, you could tell that it was going to go to some sort of intercept by the noises we heard right before the ring started. You have to hear a lot of these to get a feel for it, but basically, the pulsing sequence gets over with more quickly and usually makes a louder tick right before it starts the ringtone. By contrast, on that first call where we reached the phone line, there was more stuff that had to happen before the ring started, and that tick right before the ring is not as loud. Now, I don't know the route for that last call, but it would have gone through either St. Louis 1,
3141,
or St. Louis 2,
3142.
I would tend to hope that it was St. Louis 2, because if it had gone through St. Louis 1 and the call failed...
I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you please hang up and try again?
Oh, boy. That recording drove phone freaks crazy more often than any other, because St. Louis 1 handled the famous Sheraton 800 number, 325-3535, and when somebody was using a blue box, it wasn't uncommon to call that number, whistle it off, and then try something, and if it wasn't tuned up right...
I'm sorry, your call did not go through.
And of course it would take the blue box user a while to realize that his box needed to be tuned up, and so he would try again and...
I'm sorry, your call did not go through.
And then try it again.
I'm sorry.
And then try it again.
I'm sorry.
And then throw the blue box through a window. Meanwhile, this is producing an automatic trouble report every time, and this is why I'd always heard, but had never confirmed, that the guys at the St. Louis 4A were very, very conscious of blue box users because they had to put up with all that nonsense. Now, the guys in the original Phone Freak clan, while not perfect, were pretty sensitive to this sort of thing. But after the Esquire article and all those newsletters that followed, putting the secrets out for everyone, well, it kind of became a free-for-all, and St. Louis ended up being very, very security conscious, so I'm told. As for that lady, she remained on the recordings into the early 1980s, even after the 4A had been replaced with a 4E. Anyway, here's a call to a non-working number in the Dalton, Georgia NX1 via Hempstead, Atlanta 1 4A.
4042.
To Dalton. You'll notice on this call there's that very distinctive N1 carrier sound, because we do get an N1 carrier type trunk from Atlanta up to Dalton, and those had a very distinctive sound to them. It was a transmission system for medium distance, and as soon as Atlanta connects to Dalton, the N1 carrier noise will be there, and you'll hear the NX1 up there giving a short pulsing sequence and dropping into the recording with a fairly loud tick. Jane's a little muddy in that example, but I'll have some perfect, high-quality recordings of Jane coming later on in this segment.
Not.
What do you mean? Anyway, here are some calls to Live Oak, Florida's NX1 made in 1974. These calls go from, again, my Long Island Crossbar 5 to Hempstead, Jacksonville 4A.
9042.
To Live Oak. In 1974, I was not in the habit of keeping the dialing part of the phone call on the tape, so these begin with the sounds you hear right after I finish dialing the number.
Can I have an emergency dialing, please?
3621121.
One moment. That number has been disconnected, sir.
Thank you.
Let me stop the tape a second here. Do you think this is going to intercept or to a regular phone line? Remember how it sounded right before it started to ring? Here it is again.
Neville, are you speaking for?
That's right, another human being bothered at random, but only once. Now that was definitely my fault, but the next two calls are not. Here's an example of an NX1 messing up, because by simply trying to call the time number and then another Live Oak number, I get two cross connections. Here's the other time that that happened. This time it took a very long time before dumping me into a crossed connection. In both cases, the call went off hook when it connected me, and so I did not stay on the line. I hung up within 2 seconds to avoid putting a long-distance call on my parents' phone bill. So things in the Live Oak NX1 in 1974 were not entirely up to snuff. Here's the machine intercept number, and you'll notice that there's a flash, a supervision flash, which concurs with the first audible ring on the intercept trunk. And this is very odd for an NX1. First of all, there's no technical reason why it should. Secondly, a long-distance call from another NX1 to this one would be charged for this call, because NX1s don't tolerate flashes like what you're about to hear.
I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. This is a recording in Live Oak, Florida.
Now that, of course, was a state-of-the-art Autochron announcing system with John Doyle on it. So now let's try the time number again, and if we actually get through to the time instead of another crossed connection, I'm sure we will get a state-of-the-art Autochron time announcing system, hopefully with Jane Barbie on it.
Not?
Yeah, that's true. We're not going to get that, and in fact, you're not going to believe this. The technology that you're about to hear, I'm not familiar with, but just picture the old logo for the RCA company with the gramophone, and I think you'll get a clue as to just how old this technology is. I'm going to let this play for about 3 minutes. If you've heard enough and want to skip to near the end of that part, go to 16 minutes, 16 seconds.
That's the tone. The time will be 6:16¾. That's the tone. The time will be 6:17 exactly. That's the tone. The time will be 6:17¼. That's the tone. The time will be 6:17½. That's the tone. The time will be 6:17¾. At the tone, the time will be 6:18 exactly. At the tone, the time will be 6:18 and 1/4. At the tone, the time will be 6:18 and 1/2. At the tone, the time will be 6:18 and 3/4. At the tone, the time will be 6:19 exactly.
There are two things I do know about this technology. One is that it has turned up in other places with that same voice playing back at a much faster and even inappropriately fast speed.
At the tone, the time will be 6:18 and 1/4.
I've actually heard it sound that way in other places, which does prove that it is not one long recording that starts at noon and ends at midnight. It does have multiple tracks. It just doesn't piece together the announcements, which means, let's see, 12 hours a day, 60 minutes, times 4 announcements per minute. She is remarkably cheerful for someone who has had to record 2,880 announcements. And I'm not kidding about that. It really is a distinct announcement for every time. One wonders what it sounds like toward the end of her recording session, whether she sounds tired or something.
The tone, the time will be... Oh, what time is it? Oh, God.
Cut.
What do you mean we have to make another record?
The other thing I know is that the thing that makes the tone is independent of the announcement playing, because I've called in at times when the tone is going, but there's no announcement. On the day that this happened, Dave and I tried calling it at the same time, and we were actually able to talk to each other through it, but only for the first few seconds. Then we couldn't hear each other. Now, after discovering that we could only talk through it for the first few seconds and then we got cut off, we decided to go ahead and call the Live Oak switch room to get it fixed. And when we told them the time was broken, what we were told was...
Oh, it's all right. She's just taking a bathroom break.
All right, just kidding. Just kidding. I made that up. But anyway, as it turns out, this technology was more common than I thought. I just spoke with someone who started finding these things, calling into military bases just on regular phone numbers from the outside. And he started doing this in 1980, so as ancient as this technology was, he nonetheless found that many military bases did have one. There was even one military base which had 24 hours of announcements, and there was one guy doing the AM announcements 0 hours through 1100. Another guy, who had a much gruffer voice, was doing 1200 through 2359. In calling that number, you'd get the impression that there were two different guys working in shifts, but not really. The military-based time hacks, as they were called, were just on regular numbers that anybody could call, and they tended to have public service announcements attached to the beginning of them. Anyway, back to the subject of NX1s. Each and every one of the NX1s we just called is also a tandem. A very typical pattern was to have an independent NX1 combination office and tandem surrounded by tributaries which were either Step or Stromberg XY. For example, here's a call to Alberta, Virginia. via Hempstead
5166,
Richmond 4A
8042,
and Emporia NX1 acting as a tandem. Here's how this one goes through. 10 digits from my crossbar 5 to Hempstead, 7 digits to Richmond, 7 digits to Emporia NX1. That soft tick is the Richmond 4A cutting through to the Emporia NX1, and there's also a little tick in there that Emporia makes when it gets the start tone because it clicks along with the MFs. But anyway, now, immediately without delay, the Emporia NX1 gets the trunk to Alberta, the tributary, dials the last 4 digits, and cuts through.
The number you have reached in Alberta, Virginia is not in service or has been changed.
Here's a similar routing to Glade Spring, Virginia. The only difference is that this is a cross-boundary situation. That is, Glade Spring, Virginia is a tributary of Bristol, Tennessee's NX1. So Hempstead, if at all possible, is going to send this to Nashville.
6152.
Which, of course, is not in the same area as Virginia, so it sends 10 digits instead of 7. So this goes from Hempstead, 10 digits to Nashville, and then just 7 digits to Bristol, Tennessee, in spite of the fact that this is a Virginia number. That's how cross-boundary situations were typically handled in those days. That saved equipment, but sometimes meant they could not assign the same office code in two neighboring NPAs. Anyway, the Bristol NX1, when it sees 429, knows that that means Glade Spring, Virginia, so it picks up a trunk to Glade Spring and dials the last 4 digits and cuts through. You'll recognize this first call from part 4, and then I'll hang up and make another call to Glade Spring. Folks, I have to apologize for these poor quality Jane Barbie recordings. The problem with this one and the one in Dalton is that the Autochron Company didn't actually make the reproduction system. They just provided the tape of Jane, and then the phone company copied it onto their run-of-the-mill recording machine. But I can assure you, the next call will be a high-quality Jane recording.
Not.
What do you mean? It's an Autochron machine. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, all right, I guess we'll see. The next call is to a small step in Hildebrand, North Carolina, which is a tributary of Hickory, North Carolina's NX1. The route is from Hempstead Tandem 3,
5166,
to Suffolk 4A,
5162,
to Charlotte 4A,
7042,
to Hickory NX1, to the Hildebrand step. And the reason we're going through Suffolk is because Hempstead's trunks to Charlotte are busy. In fact, the alternate route for all the calls we've made so far in this segment would be Suffolk.
5162.
So anyway, there are two things different about this call. The first is that the link to Suffolk is T-carrier, so you don't hear a little burst of 2600 before the MFs start. Instead, it just makes kind of a dry sound. But to confuse matters a little bit, this particular trunk from Lynbrook, my crossbar 5, to Hempstead is resonant, and so when we cut through to Hempstead, it sort of rings a bit. So that has nothing to do with signaling, that's just feedback on the trunk. Anyway, since it's going through Suffolk, we won't hear carrier noise until Suffolk ticks it on. So you hear the MFs of Hempstead, and then ta-da-da. And a silence, actually a soft T carrier noise. And then you hear the Charlotte trunk tick on from Suffolk, so there's a delay before you hear carrier noise. Then the next link, of course, is the Hickory NX1. The other thing is that the Hickory NX1 tends not to dial pulse very loudly, at least to the customer's ear, and so you barely hear the dial pulses on these calls through Hickory. This is a 1974 call, so there's no dialing.
The number you have reached is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your directory assistance operator. This is a recording in Hildebrand, North Carolina.
So much for the perfection of Otacron. Well, I'm sure this other town in the Hickory area will sound just fine.
I'm sorry. The number you have reached is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your directory assistance operator. This is a recording in Granite Falls, North Carolina.
Now this is really getting me down. Let's go to the Commerce, Georgia area. Commerce, Georgia has an NX1, and it's surrounded by Stromberg XYs. They all have Jane Barbie recordings in them, and they're all made directly by Otacron. So here's one in Jefferson, Georgia, via Hempstead, Atlanta 4A.
4042.
Commerce NX1, which dials the last four digits into the Jefferson Stromberg XY.
Unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again
or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording. 404367.
Well, I think we're getting the sound of an NX1 dialing to one of its tributaries, in spite of certain technical difficulties. And let's try just one more in Tallahassee, Florida. Tallahassee's NX1, like Hickory, North Carolina's, does not let you hear the outpulsing very loudly. Here we have an NX1 tandem in Tallahassee, dialing into a step in Tallahassee. This step has the very pleasant West Los Angeles-type independent ringtone, and the even more pleasant voice of Jane Barbie on a real Otacron announcing machine. So here it is again, a 1974 call via Hempstead, Jacksonville 4A,
9042.
Tallahassee NX1 to this Tallahassee step.
This is a recording in Tallahassee, Florida. The number you reached is not in service or has been changed. Please consult your directory or dial 113 for directory assistance.
Finally, perfection.
Not.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
This is a recording in Tallahassee, Florida. The number you reached is not in service or has been changed. Please consult your directory or dial 113 for directory assistance.
Whoa, whoa, wait a second. What did Jane just say? I was afraid of that.
This is a recording in Tallahassee, Florida. Be prepared to take on permanent changes to your head. Please consult your directory or dial 113 for directory assistance.
I think it's time to stop. This is what happens when you work obsessively. But anyway, it's been about a half an hour of this program, which is a good length. And in the next segment, if I can remember how to do it, we will start out by taking a break, which I think is needed, from calling NX1s and searching for the perfect Jane Barbie recording. We'll listen to about 3 centralized intercept calls to places that didn't have the boring 1970... Testing? That's a real dog barking in the background, by the way. I guess I mentioned Jane's name and... You know, happens every time now. No bad reflection on Jane, it's just one of them things. Anyway, we'll call centralized intercept in crossbar 5s to see what the other side of the fence is like for a while. Then we'll go back to calling through NX1s, and we'll get NX1s MFing to other NX1s, mostly. Now, as for the Tallahassee recording, all it really did was that after about every 10 repetitions of the recording, it would go... in between recording repetitions, and this obviously indicates something about the way the recording machine functions. When an analog device makes a sound like that, it would suggest perhaps a playback head moving across many tracks that had been recorded in a long spiral. It's a possibility, but I really don't know how those Autochron machines worked. I just know it was a high-quality analog device, and it made that sound every 10 repetitions. The words did not change, though. That was my imagination. As for those other Jane recordings that kept slowing down, that was real. That really did happen.